This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, we'll go back to Commodity Classic, held recently in New Orleans, where Stephen Orr catches up with Cody Carson, a Texas producer and chairman of the National Sorghum Producers. And that conversation's coming up in just a moment. Speaking of conversations, a lot of questions surrounding the Black Sea crop prospects. So Jason Grant, Virginia Tech University global trade analyst, says,
how much winter wheat is in the ground in Ukraine? Our farmers are going to be able to take care of that crop this spring, right? That was planted last fall. That's a big sizable portion on the eastern side of Ukraine and the southern portion. And then we've got corn plantings going in here in the next few weeks, right? So that's more in the mid and northern area. And these are all really big question marks.
It's the Agribusiness Report, Commodity Classic held this year in New Orleans. Stephen Orr reports.
Joined now by Cody Carson. Cody is an Olton farmer and also chairman of the National Sorghum Producers. Cody, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's great to be back in person again, isn't it?
It's nice to be gathered up and to see all these people around. How's your convention been so far?
It's been good. You know, people are enjoying getting back out and getting to visit face-to-face. You know, it's great. You and I are both down here almost neighbors. But to see the rest of the country and what sometimes we get focused on our own little bubble of agriculture, and it's great to see the diversity that's out there and learn new and hopefully better ways to be steward-friendly and climate-smart on our own farms.
When we look at the sorghum industry, some really exciting times and some real opportunities when we look at sorghum.
Well, you know, as most of your audience and I know well, living in the panhandle of Texas has its own challenges from weather. And what we're up against is a lot of the people on the hill are talking about dealing with too much water, talking about cover crops in the winter and how to make that work. With our lack of moisture, our wind, our low humidity, we just don't have those options or those luxuries. And so I'm here on behalf of sorghum today. We're trying to explain to those that need a different venue, you know, from South Dakota to South Texas in the arid plains states, sorghum just provides a niche and checks a lot of boxes that this administration wants filled. And with some of the programs that are coming out, I see it as a real future on my own farm. And I know a lot of others will as well. Sorghum is just such a water-conserving crop. It's so efficient on nutrients. We're partnering with Pheasant Forever and Ducks Unlimited. It provides a great wildlife habitat. We all know what it does for the cow-calf industry and what we can do there, how it helps. And then for those of us that don't have the luxury of a cover crop, to be able to take last year's sorghum stalks and leave that standing to plant cotton or corn, whatever crop you want to rotate into, the benefits of that. And then with all the talk of carbon sequestration coming down the line, sorghum certainly puts an ample amount of that. It's all based on the amount of water you get. But on a level playing field, sorghum does that about as well as any crop out there. So there's just a lot of opportunities coming forward.
When we look back to 2021, we had quite a few sorghum acres planted across West Texas specifically, and had a pretty good crop. Talk about that and then the outlook for 22 and demand for sorghum.
You know, Stephen, you're exactly right. We did. We're coming off of a great year production-wise. And, of course, as a lot of the panhandle knows, sorghum may not be some producer's primary crop. You know, cotton may be the cash cow, but we all know what a cotton crop will do following sorghum. Or vice versa. And I just don't think we can be a monoculture and be sustainable and be good stewards of what we're doing. You know, we're coming off of the second highest value sorghum crop ever produced, over $2 billion. We all know that China is the main player and that 83% of last year's crop went to China. The rest stayed in the U.S. either for, I shouldn't say stayed in the U.S., Mexico imports quite a bit. Japan, we're working with Vietnam and India. We really don't enjoy having all our eggs in one basket with China. But that is the big player. We're using a lot of sorghum domestically in pet foods. And the human growth, the human food market is growing rapidly. I think what people are concerned with is the I hate to use the word mess, but kind of the mess that our world politics is in right now. You know, there's concern of what will China do? What will I'm here to tell you, last week, China and Japan both ordered boats of sorghum. Milo, Mexico ordered train loads. So the demand and the desire for U.S. sorghum is there. And we're seeing some volatility in the market, but planting seed is good. And, of course, with the tightness in technology, I use that word towards herbicides, you know, and insecticides, but with concerns on technology and input cost, sorghum, when you put a pencil to it, it's really impressive where it fits into my operation.
Speaking of your operation and your rotation, what benefits have you seen with having sorghum as a consistent part of that?
You know, sorghum has helped tie my soil together, both above and below ground. And I'm seeing a lot of benefits from that. What I'm currently doing is taking a lot of last year's sorghum, and we're scooting over 4 inches and planting our cotton right beside it. And so we're using that as our cover crop. I know a lot of panhandle farmers are planting wheat, irrigating, spending time, labor dollars to get that wheat going. And I've been fairly successful with skipping that step and just saving last year's cover crop and planting into that. I'm seeing a huge benefit to the next crop that follows it.
Well, Cody, as you look down the road a little bit, what would you say are the biggest opportunities and maybe biggest challenges or things that the national sorghum producers are looking at?
Well, like all commodities, worrying with which way the administration is going to go. You know, ag policy, administrations tend to use ag products at the tip of the spear when they're trying to leverage trade with other countries. And so we know that. They can shut us down or bolster us with just a few strokes of the pen. So in this world economy, and, you know, Stephen, you and I both have enough gray hair. We used to talk about a world economy, but it truly is now. You know, and it just, what happens in the Ukraine today affects us immediately. It's not the lag time that we used to see. So the world responds much quicker. And I think that with all commodities, we're going to have to watch the markets. We have got some tremendous pricing opportunities in front of us right now. We're seeing commodities at levels that, you know, you and I have never seen. And we've got to take advantage of it. My big concern is, especially for my part of the country, the weather right now, our extended drought and the way the Ogallala continues to decline and just those concerns of will we be able to reap the rewards of what these markets are offering us. And then being careful enough in our marketing that someone doesn't back out on us. You know, we've got to make sure the supply chain works all the way through so that what we're good at growing gets to the market that wants to pay for it.
Well, Cody, about out of time today. If somebody wants to participate with the National Sorghum Producers or they want to find more information, what are the best ways they can do?
Well, what's interesting for you and I is the national headquarters is just down the road at Lubbock. And, you know, we have a great website. We have a great social media presence. It's made up of a lot of good people that are pretty passionate about what they do and want to be better at what we've always done. I say the U.S. farmer has always been undercredited for our efforts and how far ahead of the curve we are. In fact, I had breakfast this morning with the Secretary Vilsack, and we had the opportunity to discuss that. I told him, I said, I'm not a big fan of the word sustainable because I think the U.S. farmer is already so far ahead of sustainable that we need to get that message out there. And taking an avenue through a commodity group, especially like National Sorghum, you have that opportunity. And there's, you know, the U.S. farmer is less than 0.1% of the population right now, but yet we're producing 90% of the ag value that's done. No one else is going to go out there and advocate for us. It's not what we're raised to do. We're taught to mind our own business and take care of things, but sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone and be a proponent for what you believe in and what we enjoy making a living at.
Well, Cody, I want to thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your show.
Thanks, David. Look forward to it, and thank you for having me on.
Again, that's Cody Carson. He is chairman of the National Sorghum Producers, and a farmer in Olson, Texas.
Stephen Orr reporting from New Orleans and Commodity Classic. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Control your growing environment like never before with a Sunflower 1436 disc harrow. With a design that is fine-tuned to work precisely and easily, you can give each seed its best shot at a healthy return. Whatever your soil type or tillage practice, the Sunflower line of disc harrows is your best choice for rugged, reliable performance. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Glenda Humiston is the Vice President for the University of California's Ag and Natural Resources, testifying recently before a House Ag Committee.
Extreme climate events are changing California's ecosystems. Fires, floods, drought, and more invasive pests are already affecting agriculture. For example, unseasonably warm weather now causes many fruit and nut trees to bloom before the last frost, causing great economic losses. Changing climate decreases water supplies, increases wildfires, and threatens agricultural productivity. To combat this, we must enable working landscapes to adapt and become a solution to climate change. According to the National Academy of Sciences, U.S. soils and forests have the potential to sequester about 500 million metric tons of carbon dioxide annually. Markets for carbon credits are one solution to move us there. Such climate smart practices require we fully utilize USDA programs and leverage collaborations between government, academia, and the private sector. We need voluntary market and incentive-based programs and a focused on science-based outcomes. New science and technologies will allow farmers to remain economically viable while generating co-benefits such as improved water-holding capacity of soils, pollinator habitat, and carbon sequestration. We're moving to expand relations between the life sciences and engineering and other technology specialists to develop those complex solutions to these challenges. Some examples are placing solar panels over irrigation canals to reduce evaporation of precious irrigation water while also producing electricity, something Congressman Costa has long supported. Implementing healthy soil practices to improve groundwater recharge and dairy digesters to create biofuels rather than harmful greenhouse gases. Other opportunities exist in forest health efforts that convert excessive fuel loads, biomass, into valuable bioproducts. Expanding the capacity to manufacture advanced wood products can support economic development in rural communities. Examples of this work include converting that biomass into hydrogen and liquid biofuels to replace diesel and trucks. In California, we're excited to work with the governor and the state legislature to secure a $185 million investment in UC to expand climate-focused research, innovation, and workforce development. This funding will establish regional workforce hubs to provide on-the-job training opportunities for students and leverage career certification programs for college prep and non-degree-seeking individuals.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest again, Cody Carson, a Texas producer, chairman of the National Sorghum Producers.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
We all want to work quickly and effectively on the farm. Livingston Machinery has the all-in-one machine to make it happen. The MLT 840 telescopic handler from Manitou with a max capacity of 8,800 pounds is the ideal choice for all of your rough terrain farm handling tasks, including feeding, harvesting work, and bulk loading. With a variety of attachments and an impressive 115 horsepower, your to-do list never dwindled so fast. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
With dairy, one story in USDA's March WASDE report is record high prices.
And the all milk price was raised $1.50 per hundredweight to $25.05 per hundredweight, and that would be a new record compared to the previous record, which was achieved in 2014.
World Board Chair Mark Jackanowski calls the increase significant.
It's a pretty simple story, but an interesting one too. We reduced our production forecast again this month, and that reflects again what we're seeing in the data, both lower cow numbers and reduction in the growth in milk per cow.
He adds that milk production is down from last month and also year over year.
We raised our dairy prices kind of across the board, cheese, butter, non-fat, dry, and dry whey. Again, just reflecting the prices we're observing, and that's fully consistent with the lower production forecast and strong demand.
This is Stephanie Hope in Washington, D.C.